trying to give her a little fever on me, and I'm not going to let it take me down, so we'll be all right. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he that prophesies speaks unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. I would that you all spoke with tongues, but rather that you prophesied, for greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation, or by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by doctrine? And even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise ye, and let except you utter through or by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall be known what is spoken? For you shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, how shall it be unto him? I shall be unto him that speaks a barbarian, and he that speaks shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so ye, forasmuch as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. Wherefore, let him that speaks in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing in the spirit, and also sing with the understanding. Else when you shall bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understands not what you sayeth? For you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet for all that they will not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serves not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you are mad? But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believes not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, and he is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God, and report that God is in you of a truth. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you has a psalm, has a doctrine, has a tongue, they have a revelation, they have an interpretation, that all things be done unto edifying. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophets speak two or three, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sits by, let the first hold his peace. For you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, But they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. What? Came the word of God out from you, or came it to you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. And if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. Mouthful here tonight. I'm going to break down some things in this tonight because we're talking about spiritual gifts, and we have been since the 12th chapter, correct? Okay. And in this 14th chapter, this actually should flow together with the 13th chapter, okay? So it just flows right on together, because it ended up and says, now charity is what the greatest there is. And the next verse starts out and says, not follow, but pursue after what? Pursue after love. Agape is the word. It's not charity, it's love. But desire what? Non-carnal things, gifts. But rather, to a greater degree, that you prophesy. The word may there isn't supposed to be there. It's an added word. But to a greater degree that you speak under inspiration. Okay? That's what it should say. Let me read it the way the first verse should say. Pursue after love, but desire non-carnal gifts, but to a greater degree you should desire that you speak under the inspiration. Okay? Under the inspiration of God. Because he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men, but to God. Now, there's different administrations of this gift of tongues. There's three different gifts of tongues that we can deal with, and everybody thinks they're all wrapped up into one package. And if you take three things and wrap it up in one package, you usually got confusion. There is a prayer language, and that's what he's talking about here. When you speak in tongues, no man understands. You're speaking to God in the prayer language. Do you understand that? Okay? Then he goes on to say this. Because no man understands him. See, no one understands. The word him isn't supposed to be there either. Because no man understands. When you speak in an unknown tongue, who understands it? See? Now, we'll show later on, I'll show you what Paul said. He said when he prays in tongues, his understanding is unfruitful. But he didn't understand either when he prayed in tongues. So we'll get there in a minute. Because no man understands, but in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. You're speaking about things that God, if God wanted you to know, you'd be speaking in a tongue that somebody understood, wouldn't you? God's doing something edifying your spirit, has nothing to do with your flesh and making you feel good, does it? It's about edifying your spirit. Verse 3 goes on to say, but he that speaks under the inspiration, that's what the word prophesy means, speak under he that prophesies or speaks under the inspiration, speaks to men for this reason, edification, encouragement, and a calm and consoling thing to them. Okay? He speaks edification. The word exhortation means encouragement. He speaks edification, encouragement, and calming and consoling. That's what that word comfort means, calming and consoling. Okay? So that's the purpose of a prophetic word. Now, we have a lot of people running around today in the church world and have for a long time saying they got these prophetic words and they're telling you what you better do or else God's going to get you. I don't think it falls in the category of edification, exhortation, or comfort, does it? If it's not that, guess where it came from? Come out of the bottomless pit, right out of their mind. Has nothing to do with God. Because God says, here's what the prophesying is for. You speak under inspiration. If I'm speaking under inspiration, I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to exhort you, to comfort you, and to encourage you to come on in your life, to do something. You hear what I'm saying? It's not about telling you you're a bad person. And see, all the church wants to prophesy and say they have words of knowledge on you, and all it is condemning you. That's not what God's talking about. We should be encouraging people. Yeah, we know what you did wrong. That's not the focal point. The point is, let's get you back on the right track. Okay? Verse 4, he goes on to say, he that speaks in not an unknown tongue, the word unknown, if you notice, is italicized, right? Here's what it should say. He that speaks in tongues edifies himself. Okay? If you speak in tongues, you edify yourself. But he that speaks under the inspiration does what? They edify the church. Now, this is not about the I world, is it? Jesus didn't come to straighten himself out and send everybody else to hell, did he? He came for everyone else. He said, I didn't come to be served, I come to serve you. I'm the servant. So guess what? When he says it's about edifying the church, why would Paul point that direction instead of edifying just yourself? Because it's about the body of Christ. It's not about one person. Okay? If I speak in tongues, I'm edifying myself. But if I speak under the inspiration, guess what I'm doing? I'm edifying everyone that hears me. Now, which one's more important? Speaking to the body and bring encouragement to everyone. Okay? And Paul goes off in the fifth verse and said, I desire that you all speak tongues. The word with is added in there too. He said, I desire you all speak tongues. In order that you speak tongues, but rather, or to a greater degree, that you speak under the inspiration. He said, I'd like you all to speak with tongues, but I see a better thing for you, and that's speaking under the inspiration of God, or the word they call prophesying. Okay? Because greater is he, it is greater to prophesy or speak under the inspiration than to speak tongues. See, the word with shouldn't be there either. Except he translate that the church, what? What's that word? No, look what it says. That the church what? King James says may receive. That means they may be will and may be won't. Take that may out of there because that's an added word. That's absolute added word. In verse 5, the last part of it where it says, except he interpret or translate that the church may receive edifying. No, the word may isn't there. That's doubt. If you read that may in there, you're reading doubt into your mind. You shouldn't be there. He says, it's greater. He that speaks in tongues is okay, except that the only thing that's better is if he interprets that. Okay? And that would give you edification. Verse 6, now brethren, if I come to you speaking tongues, the word with there is added again, what shall I profit you except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by what? Now, by prophecy. This word here is not prophesying, like it says. It's literally the word prophecy. He says, I speak to you by prophecy, which is a noun and not a verb. Prophesying is a verb. Prophecy is a noun. You understand what I'm saying? So he's talking about a thing here, a person, place, or a thing, versus an action thing in prophesying. So he says, by prophecy or by what? Doctrine, which is teaching or instruction. Now, how do you teach? Okay? In Matthew 28, let me read you something. Matthew 28. Matthew 28. This is the one they call the Great Commission. Okay? In verse 16 is where I want to start to show you something. It says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Hear that?
I'm sorry, David. What's the
Matthew 28, verse 16. That's all right. Matthew 28, 16. We'll do it again. Last chapter of Matthew, 16th verse. You got it? Okay. Then the 11 disciples went into Galilee to a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. It's like a dog licking his master's hand, but some doubted. Okay? And you know, when you doubt, you're double-minded, right? And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All power is given to me in heaven and earth." That's in the spirit realm, in the life, in the death realm, the life realm, the death realm. And then he says to them, "Go ye therefore and do what?" Well, King James says, "Teach all nations, baptizing or immersing them into the name or the nature and character of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe whatsoever I have commanded you." Okay? That's the point I want to make. You teach them in the nature and character of God, and there's what makes the change. So you can have all the information about the words in this book, and you can quote them until the cows come home, and it won't change you unless you have the nature and character of God taught into the people. There's what the church world is falling short at. They're not teaching character. They're saying, go get you a degree. Go to a Bible school for 2 years or a year and come out and start preaching. There's no character formed in someone in a year. Do you hear me? Character is something that's formed over a period of time in your life. And that's why he was telling. And now who did he speak to when he said to go and teach? His disciples, his disciplined ones. And see, in a year's time, you're not disciplined, are we? Well, even after 3 years of being taught by him, they weren't quite right yet, were they? Okay? So that's the problem. We have to teach the correct way, okay? Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 7. And it says, "And at the same time, things without life, giving sound, whether they be pipe or a harp," he's talking about musical instruments, "if they don't give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped?" What he's trying to tell you here is a principle. If you don't make your words clear, how do they understand what you're saying? The only way humans have to communicate is with their voice. That's the way we communicate, isn't it? I mean, we can do some visual things and some hand gestures, but I'm telling you, basically, our language is what sets everything up. True? And if we don't understand the language the same way, guess what happens? We have a confusion. See, if the word tree talks about a tree out there on the side of the hill, we can't think it means a pumpkin, can we? We have to get on the same page. That's why the language is drawn up the way it's drawn up. We're supposed to learn and understand that these words mean certain things. So if I use a word out of context and use it some other way, out of its meaning, and I'm thinking it means one thing and you're thinking it's meaning something else, we're never going to agree on anything, are we? We're never going to. He's telling us we got to make sure that our words are distinct and that people can understand. In the Old Testament it said to write down these words on a table so those that read it can run with it. Okay? If we're going to pass these words to another generation, we have to make sure what we say is correct. Does that make sense? We have to be correct in our language. I wish I'd have been a lot better student when I was a kid in school and learned more about the language. I'm learning it now, but not the way I should have learned it before. Okay, we're back up into verse 8. "Because if a trumpet give an indistinct sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle?" In their day, they understood that very clearly, didn't they? Because they had a way to sound. They didn't have sirens like we have. They didn't have telephones, did they? They used a trumpet. There was someone on the wall that would sound a sound, blow the trumpet, and a certain sound meant prepare yourself for battle, or it could say all clear. It could tell you all these things, couldn't it? That was their system. Then people understood what that horn meant. And when they heard a certain thing blowing, they knew that they better get their battle gear on and get in array or they're going to get killed. See? We don't listen to those things clearly today, do we? We need to understand some of these things. "So likewise," or "in this way, you also, unless you utter through the tongue words easy to be understood, or literally distinct or clear, how shall it be known what is spoken? Because you shall speak into the air. My words have to be clear and distinct. Anyone who speaks to any degree at all should work on their language to make sure that when they say something, someone does not misunderstand. Is that clear to everybody? Because if I mumble, guess what? I'm losing you. And you know what? When I speak those words, I may in my mind understand, but if I can't articulate that out to you, what good is it? No good to you at all. If I can only give you half of it, what good is it? It's not good enough. I've got to be able to articulate clearly everything that God has put in me. So as speakers, we have to work at this thing a little bit. Okay? We can't be sloppy the way we speak. We can't say, well, it's so close enough. No, we got to make sure we're right. God said it right, we got to duplicate that same thing the way He did. Okay, verse 10. There are perhaps many kinds of voices in the cosmos, in the orderly arrangement of man, and none of them is without signification. That means they all got a meaning, but if we don't understand them all, do we? Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be to him that speaks a what? Literally a foreigner or an alien. See, we're not on the same page. We're aliens. And he that speaks to me shall also be an alien or a foreigner. Right? And in this way, since you are zealous of the Spirit, and it's not spiritual gifts, the language just says, you're zealous of the Spirit, seek that you may accept that you... Now, see, there's that word may again. It's got to come out of there. See that word may there in the 12th verse? Well, seek that you excel to the edifying of the church. He's saying the most important thing you can do is edify the church. Not yourself, but the church. But I'm going to tell you what, when you edify the church, the same words that you're speaking into the air is going into your ears too. And guess what I am? I'm part of the church, aren't I? So when I'm edifying you, who else am I edifying? Myself. God spoke to me a long time ago and said, if you want to be edified, son, you better speak the word yourself because nobody else wants to speak it. Everybody's afraid to speak the truth. You better speak it yourself if you want to be encouraged. And then when I look in the Psalms and I find out when David, there was no one there to encourage him, what did he do? He encouraged himself in the Lord. See, I have to speak these things to myself when I'm in by myself. I know some people might think I'm crazy when I'm driving down the road talking, but I'm talking and there's no one with me and I'm just talking and saying words that God spoke in my heart and they're going right back in my ear, reinforcing the very thing that he put in me. See? I'm not ashamed to do it. We should have been doing it a lot earlier in life. Verse 13. Therefore, let him that speaks tongues. You know, all these other words are added in there. He that speaks tongues, pray that he translate or interpret. Right? If you speak tongues, pray that you can interpret them things. And you know what? It's still God's gift whether you interpret or not. The translation is a gift also. If he wants you to interpret, you will, and if you don't, he won't. Verse 14. Because if I pray tongues, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful or barren. Do you hear what Paul said? He said, when I pray tongues, my understanding is unfruitful, but my spirit isn't. It's fruitful. Okay? He says, if I pray tongues, my spirit prays, but my understanding, my natural mind is barren. Didn't get anything out of it. I could sit here praying tongues all night long, and you know what? You wouldn't understand or get a thing out of it except tired of it and leave. Right? Wouldn't do you any good. But when I'm praying in tongues, it's for me. So why should I put on a show for anybody? I can pray in tongues when I'm in the bathroom, riding down the road in the car, walking through the grocery stores, I can pray in tongues under my breath and no one knows it but me. I don't have to put a show on for anybody. And most of the Pentecostal realm put on a show. It's entertainment. And there's nothing wrong with their children and they got to grow up someday.
That's what I wondered a lot you know, why do you have to make it? Why does it make it so? Why can't they just keep it from going?
Well, it says here it's for a sign. We'll get to that in a minute. Or did I already say it? No, I'll get to it in a minute. I'll do something. I'll get to that, Bob. Excuse me. Where did I leave off? 14? 15 is where I'm starting. Said, my understanding is unfruitful, which is... which these things being so, I will pray with the Spirit. He said, with these things being so, about praying in tongues edifying my spirit, but prophesying or under the inspiration, speaking under inspiration is for the whole body. He said, I will pray with the Spirit, right? And I will pray with the understanding. He said, I will pray both ways. You hear me? I'll pray both ways. I will sing in the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Okay? Now, you know what this word sing there means? Now, there's a lot of people that run around, there's a lot of denominations that run around and say, there is no musical instruments in the church today. You've all heard of them, right? Well, guess what this says? This is the word psallo, P-S-A-L-L-O. It's number 5567 in your Strong's Greek dictionary, okay? And here's what it says. To play on a stringed instrument and celebrate the divine worship with music and accompanying odes. And an ode is a song or words. So he said, worship on the instrument with words. And this ain't Old Testament, is it? There actually happens to be, because since it inspired me to look at that thing, there is five different words.
No.
Okay, you're an amplifier. I'm in the King James reading right now.
What
word?
What verse
15, where it says, I will sing. The last part says, I will sing. It's number 5567, Bob, in the Greek dictionary, in the Strong's. The word is P-S-A-L-L-O. That's the Greek word. And it means to play on a stringed instrument, to celebrate the divine worship with music and accompanying odes. There is actually two different words, the psallo and psalmos, and both of them mean voice and instrument together. The word 5568 says this way, sacred ode accompanied with a voice, harp, or other instrument. Is the voice accompanied with other instruments? Okay? Does that sound like there's not supposed to be any music in the church? That's foolishness. Okay, let me go on with this. That's just a little sidetrack here. But he said, I'll pray with the understanding, I'll pray in the Spirit, I'll sing with the Spirit, and also sing with the understanding. If you ever hear someone truly sing in tongues, it's a beautiful sound, isn't it? It's a wonderful sound. It's something that you've never heard before, but you can understand it's something very beautiful. You can just know that. You'll know it's not somebody's putting it on. It's real. Verse 16, because if you shall bless in the Spirit, how shall he that occupies the place, not the room, but the place of the illiterate, the word says unlearned should be illiterate by the language, say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understands not what you say. How could I pray in tongues and be blessing something and the guy say amen when he had no clue? Amen means you agree with it. He can't agree with you if you don't get your point across, can he? Because you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. See, when I'm praying in the Spirit like that, it's only edifying myself. And Paul says, I thank my God I speak in tongues. I speak tongues, and the word with shouldn't be there either. Wipe that one out too. Okay? Where it says, I speak with tongues. He said, I thank my God I speak tongues more than you all. But you know, most people don't read that verse. They skip over it, and they jump to the next ones, the ones who do not believe in speaking tongues. It says, yet in the church or the church meetings, I desire to speak five words through my understanding, that I teach others also than 10,000 words in tongues. That's what it should say, the way I just read it. Let me read it again. Yet in the church meetings, I desire to speak 5 words through my understanding, that I teach others also than 10,000 words in tongues. That's the way the language says it. Now, people read this verse and said, see, Paul said it's better, don't pray in tongues. It's always better to do this. No, he said in the verse before, I thank God I pray in tongues more than all of you do. You hear that? He's not saying don't pray in tongues. He's just saying there's a time and a place for everything. Get it in order. Isn't that what the last verse says in this chapter? That all things be done decently in order. Okay, let's go to verse 20. Brethren, the word be is not correct there. It should be become. Become not children in understanding. What's he saying? Don't be a baby. Grow up, right? Verse 20. Brethren, become not children or immature in understanding. Howbeit in malice, become what? Become children. Or, but in understanding, do what? So let me say it again. Let me read this whole thing the way it should be. Brethren, become not immature or children in understanding. Howbeit in malice, you be as a baby, innocent. But in understanding, be mature. In understanding, we should grow up and learn all we could learn. But as far as being someone with malice, desiring to hurt someone or be mean to someone, he said, be like a baby, be innocent. A baby's innocent, isn't it? That's what he's trying to tell us. Be innocent in this thing. And the book says, you can't even come to the kingdom of God unless you're like a little child. Right? In the law is written, with other tongues, the word man isn't there, with other tongues and other lips will I speak to this people. Right? Or in this people. And yet for all that they will not what? Or listen to me, saith the Lord. They won't listen to me. So then tongues are for a sign. Here's where it was going, Bob. Tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. Tongues are a sign to them that believe not. You hear that? And you know who was the ones that believed not? The Jews. Sounds funny, but that's who didn't believe. He said they didn't enter into the kingdom, didn't enter into his rest because of their doubt and unbelief, didn't he? But prophesying is not for them which believe not, but for them which believe. Prophecy is for edifying of the sons of God once they realize they're sons of God. The speaking in tongues is a sign to the unbeliever. If therefore the whole church be assembled into one place and all speak tongues, and there come in or someone that's unlearned or illiterate or unbelievers or disbelievers, will they not say that you are what? You rave as a maniac. You're a madman. But if all prophesy or speak under the divine inspiration, and there come in one that is disbelieving or an idiot, that's what the language says, the unlearned here says, an idiot, he is convinced, what? By all, and he is what? He is not, the language literally says, examined by all. He's examined by all. And in this way are the secrets of his heart made apparent. And in this way, falling down on his face, he will worship God and declare that God is in you truly when you reveal the secrets of their hearts. God will let you from time to time come to a place where he wants you to reveal something to someone. And you'll speak things that you didn't even know, but they'll come out your mouth. And the other person knows what you're talking about. Okay? For his purpose, not your purpose. Verse 26, how is it then, brethren, when you come together or assemble, every one of you possesses a sacred ode accompanied with voice, harp, or other instruments? You possess a doctrine, or you possess a tongue, or possess a revelation, or possess an interpretation. He said, let all things be done to edify. Not to edifying, but to edify. Everything you do in this fellowship should be for one purpose. What is it? To edify people and help them understand more about God, to understand more about their life, how to live their life in this world where we live. Now, we're not of this world, but we do live in it. Correct? And everything we do should be to edify somebody, self or somebody else. It should be for edification. Not to destroy, to tear down, to rebuke and all that foolishness. No, it's to edify people. Edification means you're lifting them up and encouraging them, teaching them something. If any man speak in tongues, let it be by two, or the most three, by course or in turn, and let one translate. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the assembly and speak to himself and to God. So, you know, you hear people sometimes speak out in tongues in some of these meetings, and they're making a show. See? There is no need to scream and yell in tongues when you know who you are. See, when you come to the Feast of Tabernacles, you know, I can pray in tongues anytime I want to, but what's the need of me speaking in tongues all the time when I can speak directly to Him? Can anyone answer that one for me? Why do I need to speak in an unknown language when I can speak in the language that He understands all of it, doesn't He? Why do I need to do that? Well, I still do them occasionally, but I can talk to Him directly. So why not? Just speak to Him. I'm not telling you not to do it because the book says forbid not to forbid it. Okay? But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silence in the assembly and let him speak speak to himself and to God. Let the prophet speak two or three and the other judge. If any be revealed to another that sits by, let the first hush or stop talking. Okay? Hush or stop talking. Because you may all prophesy one by one in order that all may do what? Learn and all what? Be comforted. Now, tell me something about that verse. Read that verse right there. Let me read it to you again. For you all can prophesy one by one in order that all may learn and all may be comforted. Tell me what's wrong with that verse. No, there's two mays in there. It shouldn't be there. Three of them, really. There's that doubt again slipping in there, isn't it? If you say that you may do it, that doesn't mean you're guaranteed anything. When God says something, it's not a maybe, it's a guarantee. Would you agree to that? God makes covenants and He keeps His word. He's not a man that He could lie. He said it, and that's what it is. He does something for a purpose. It's not that you may get something. So that verse should read, because you all can prophesy one by one in order that all learn and all be comforted. Now, what's the purpose of prophecy there? To teach somebody and to comfort them, right? It's to mature the body of Christ. It's not in here to hurt somebody with it like the church world does. I mean, man, they do some nasty things. We heard a lady one time that she said she went to a group and the man walked up to her and said, I got a word of the Lord for you. I'm going to prophesy to you. And he says, it's hard, but I'm going to have to say it. You know what he said to her, Bob? He said, you look like a hooker. You need to change your clothes so God can deal with you. Now tell me that was from the Spirit of God. Huh? Isn't that amazing what they do? What do you think that does to that woman? And someone else said, amen! They're just beating you down. See, there's no edification. There's no teaching in that. There's no comfort in that. But they still do those things. Okay? So whenever we prophesy, it's for to teach somebody something or yourself, and that all be comforted. All. Who would that leave out? There's no reason for prophecy other than to comfort you or to teach you something. And the spirit of the prophet and the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Now, the word subject, do you know what that means? The word subject here, we think, well, someone else is going to dominate something when you're a subject. But this language here literally means that the spirit of the prophets, the word subject to the prophets, the word subject there means a voluntary attitude of cooperation, assuming responsibility and burdens. A voluntary attitude to accept responsibility and burdens. See? Until the time appointed of the Father. Mm-hmm. See? But it's a voluntary attitude. It's not like, I got to be right. No, I'll just do what I got to do. Sometimes we feel like we're doormats. And I don't think we have to be doormats, but sometimes we can feel that way. We get kind of abused and abused. Okay? Because God is not what? The words the author of aren't there. God is not unstable or confused or in confusion, is he? See, he's not. The word author isn't even in there. Because God is not unstable or in confusion, but in peace as in all churches of the saints. So guess what every church should be? It should be in peace and they should be stable. No confusion. Hello, find one. Find one that's not in confusion and unstable. I would love to be able to say every church you go into is stable and no confusion. But I have never been in one in my life that wasn't that way. Every denominational thing I was in, everywhere, even the non-denominational, they were all that way. I don't see unity in those churches. You know what they think unity is? Agreeing with the pastor. That's not unity. Unity is agreeing with God. It has nothing to do with agreeing with the pastor. It's agree with God if you want unity in your life. And they think it's all agreeing democratically, you know. That don't work. It don't work anywhere in the world, and it sure don't work in the kingdom of God. Oh, now we're going to come to a good part. Let your women keep silence in the church. And it's in the assembly is what it should be, in the assembly. Because it is not permitted or allowed for them to speak, but to be under obedience, as also says the law of Moses, is what it should say. Talking about the law of Moses, the word nomos. It means the law of Moses. Okay? Now this word silent means something too. Now I'm going to turn back here to my notes. There's five different words that mean silence in the Greek language. One of them means to muzzle or to be speechless. This word here in 1 Corinthians 14:34, to keep silence, it means to be silent. And there's a third word that means to hush. A fourth word means to desist from bustle or language or to be still. And the fifth word means to be quiet, tranquil, or still. It doesn't mean speechless. This word does not mean speechless. It means quiet. Okay? To be quiet. Now, does that mean total silence? Huh? To be quiet. How do you understand that? If I tell you to be quiet, does that mean you can't make a sound? It means just keep it down. Keep it down. Don't get real loud here. But we're not really talking about and understanding what God's saying. Let me finish this thing up. Let your women keep silence in the church or in the assembly because it is not allowed them to speak, but to be under obedience, as also says the law of Moses. Now, Paul's telling you something. You guys are teaching. This is what he's saying. You guys are teaching something here, telling your women that they cannot function in your body. And that's what the law says. He said, that's what the law of Moses. If you look at John 5:17, Jesus said, "I come," or Matthew 5:17, "I come not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law." Guess what? We're not bound by the law anymore, are we? We've been set free. So how can you take that law back there about the law of Moses and apply it to people today? Someone tell me how you can do that rightly. Can you? It's impossible. Verse 35 goes on and says, "And if they choose or prefer to learn anything, let them ask their own husbands at home, because it is a shame for women, for a woman to speak in the assembly." Now, want to learn something at home, ask your husband. If you want to learn something you desire to, ask your husband at home. Tell me what he's talking about. He's trying to tell the woman to show honor and respect to her husband. It's not saying bow down and be a slave to your husband. It's saying show respect to your husband as a man of God, and go to him first if you've got a question and say, "Honey, do you understand this passage of Scripture? Can you help me with it, understand it?" If he can't, then where should she go? Go to the church, go back to the pastor, to, you know, somebody that knows something about it. But first she should give it to her husband. Her husband should say this: "If I don't know it, I'll get it for you." You see what I mean? And that's showing honor and respect to your spouse. That's all it is. Didn't he say we're supposed to love our wives, even as Christ loved the church and died for it? We're supposed to show honor and respect both ways. Husbands and wives. Now here comes the clincher. If you understand Paul's attitude in this thing, and I want you to see it, because Paul can get very sarcastic in his writing, and here's where he turns sarcastic. And he rightly so turns sarcastic. He's trying to make a point here with these Corinthians who were very legalistic. They thought they had everything under control, but they didn't have the right spirit about everything. They were still in duality, and they were trying to bind people up by the law and trying to say they're under the new covenant. Look what he says in verse 36. What? Tell me what's behind that word. Now, sometimes you can say something and say, "What?" And it's a question, and sometimes it's a statement, depending on how you say that word, how what emphasis you put on that word. Here, Paul is using a very sarcastic way. He's saying, "What? What?" He's like, he don't believe it. Okay? He's saying, "I don't believe what you're saying," what he's telling me. "What? Came the word of God out from you?" He's putting real emphasis on these words. He says, "What? The word of God came out from you? Or came to you only? If a man think If any think to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that. Just a minute. Sir. Oh, okay, this word, that. Okay? It means that I write to you are commandments of the Lord. Okay? I was looking at something wrong here. If any think to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that what I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. But if anyone be ignorant, this word ignorant is not stupid now. It means ignorant. It means through a lack of information. Okay? So if any man is ignorant through a lack of information, then let him be ignorant. If they refuse to hear the truth, what should you do? Let them be. You can't force them to take it, can you? If God has not created the hearing ear and the seeing eye, you can't jam it down their neck or stuff it in their ear and expect them to hear it. They're deaf and blind. Just beating it against a rock. You'd be better off to go beat your head against a rock and talk to people like that. Like the one you was talking to today. Yeah. Right? Okay. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Therefore, brethren, desire to prophesy and do not forbid to speak tongues. Now where it says, and forbid not, literally in most of the translations it says this, do not forbid to speak tongues. Okay? The Living Bible, have you got that laying there? Yeah, there it is. Let me see if I can read that verse out of there. Living Bible says it pretty good too. But almost every translation. Bob, what's yours say?
That what verse you have now?
39.
So to conclude, my brethren, earnestly desire and set your hearts on prophesying, on being inspired to preach and teach and to interpret God's will and purpose, and do not forbid or hinder speaking in unknown tongues.
Right. Okay. Let me read out of the Living Bible. So my fellow believers, long to be prophets so that you can preach God's message plainly and never say it is wrong to speak in tongues. Okay. You know how many people say it's wrong? What's it in the book? What's it in this book for? Oh, I've been told that it was the devil's tongue, you know. Well, you know, when I spoke with the devil and acted like the devil and spoke with his language, no one ever said he'd give me a gift. And then when I go to that side, they say, oh, the devil's doing it now. Well, why'd he give me a gift after I left? Yeah. I'm not working on his side anymore, am I? So why are they telling me I'm getting a gift from him now? Foolishness, ignorance. Just let them be ignorant. Okay, the last verse says this. Cause, not let, but cause all things to be done decently in order. Did you notice the difference in that word? It didn't say let. Cause all things to be done decently and in order. What's it tell you? Word changes are powerful. See, it doesn't say let, because let is a permissive word, just let it go. But cause means you have an effect on this thing. You're the one that sets the temperature. Absolutely. See, cause all things to be done decently in order. That means somebody got to be in control of something, don't it? See, most people think that you're not supposed to have any leadership, but there is structure in the kingdom of God. Can anybody build a house without a structure under it? You can't just hold that roof up there by your imagination, can you? There's got to be a structure set into something to hold the house up. And know you not that you're the temple of the living God? Well, this temple has to have structure in it. You don't have structure, or you've got the mob of people running around. Right? It ain't going to work. Any questions? Next week we got a long chapter too. Okay? Anybody got anything else? I'm done.